We have been studying in the book of Romans, and the book of Romans challenges us to see the needs of people. So many things that the book of Romans does, and one of them that's deep on my heart is the challenge to see people like God does and see the needs that exist around us. And so we've issued a 6-month challenge for our church. I kind of think in the beginning of July I began to talk about that. I want to ask every person, every Christian, every believer that's a part of our church family to prayerfully and consciously ask God to help them to reach out to other people and have a heart that sees the needs of people and love them and care about them, and especially to influence them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know who Jesus is. And so we're talking about that 6-month challenge. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And God wants for the church, the body of Christ, not just on Sunday morning. I mean, that's just such a small fragment of our time and our week, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God wants His people to be a witness for Him. Wherever you're at, wherever you work, wherever you live, young people, wherever you go to school this fall, it's an opportunity for you to be a witness for Jesus where you're at. And I want to challenge our church family to know how important it is that we be involved with the people around us. We're in this particular building just a few hours a week, but out there you're rubbing shoulders with people and have an opportunity to influence them in so many ways. Dr. Billy Graham, all of you know who Dr. Billy Graham is, a man who has preached the gospel all of his life, and his name is known so well. He's been one of those men who has influenced people for Christ for many, many years. Some of you know that Dr. Billy Graham will be 95 years old this November. If he lives until the 7th of November, he'll be 95 years old. And Dr. Billy Graham is planning what may be, he thinks, maybe his last public broadcast, his last maybe in a sermon like this, where he wants to address Americans. And in a 30-minute broadcast in November, he has invited Christians to invite people to their homes. And there'll be a 30-minute broadcast, a little bit about his life and a message about salvation and a call for people to come to faith in Christ. And so he's challenged Christians to build bridges of relationship and friendship between now and November the 7th. And then on November the 7th, if you're able to, or some other time, use that broadcast and invite people into your life, maybe into your home or someplace, and be able to share this broadcast of the life of Billy Graham and a message of salvation. Again, one opportunity, one tool, one way in order to build bridges with people. And so over the next few weeks and the next couple of months, we're going to be talking about how we can build bridges with people in our circle of influence, how important it is. 2 weeks ago in my sermon, I gave an example of a man named Matthew who Jesus had called. He was the tax collector, and Jesus had walked by one day and saw Matthew and said, "Matthew, follow me." And Matthew understood. He got up, and right away Matthew began to invite people to come see Jesus and to know who Jesus was. And Matthew invited a great number of people to his house, his friends and his acquaintances, and probably people that he worked with. And Matthew is an example of someone, an everyday person, an everyday follower of Jesus, who did what they could to bring people to Jesus. And I want to challenge our church family. I want to challenge you to be a person, an everyday person, who does everything that God gives you the opportunity to bring someone to Jesus and introduce them to Jesus. When people know who Jesus is, their lives are changed. And so this morning I want to challenge our church family. I began to 2 weeks ago, and today I want to make it a little bit more specific. I want to ask you if you'd be willing to be a Matthew. Would you be willing over the next few months and leading up till November and beyond and whenever, would you be willing to be a Matthew? Would you be willing to ask God to use you to make a difference in the life of the people around you? Being a Matthew begins with prayer. It begins with praying that God would show you how and to whom He wants you to spend your time and invest yourself in order to show love and the care of Jesus. That you would pray that God would show you the people in your life that you can have an opportunity to influence and bring for Jesus. And so the call to be a Matthew begins with a call to prayer. to begin to pray. Each of you, I hope, received a white card a few minutes ago, and maybe you would take that out and look at that for a moment. It's a white card, and on one side of that white card is a prayer list. And the challenge is to invite you and ask you, if you're willing to be a Matthew, that you would just be willing to begin to pray for people, that you would ask God to show you the names of some people in your life, whether they be physical neighbors close to you. For some of you, that would be a group of people that you could begin to pray for. And for some of you, it may be people at work, or it might be acquaintances from your profession, or maybe friends from school. But I want to invite you today to commit yourself to be a Matthew. Would you be willing to be a Matthew and to begin to look for people to pray for and ask God to show you who can you pray for? We know that prayer changes things. And when you begin to pray for people, God will begin to work in your heart and your life as well as their life. And if you have a heart that is seeking God's Spirit and you're seeking to love people, God will bring those together and make a difference in someone's life. And so I want to invite every believer here today to promise to be a Matthew, to begin to pray for people. Take that list, and as God brings somebody to your name, I'm sure most of you right now, already God's already brought somebody to your heart and your mind. You know, I could pray for my neighbor, or there's somebody at work, and I can begin to pray for them. I want to challenge you to take that card and begin to write the names on that, and over the next few months, to pray for these people. I want to ask you to write down some of those names and begin to pray for them. Whatever God brings to your heart and your life, for each of us it will be different. I know some names of some of my neighbors. I have neighbors that I still don't know some of the names of my neighbors. And Debbie and I, we believe that the way that God's leading us is to physically reach out to the neighbors around us. And so we've begun to try to do that and build bridges of relationship with them. Some of them I've begun to meet and talk to, and I'm writing their names down on my card because I want to be able to be a friend to them and spend time and say, I care about you and I want to get to know you. And it begins with an opportunity of prayer. The second step is to begin to find ways to connect with people. For us and for many of you, the opportunity will be to invite them. Maybe to invite them into your home. Maybe to say, we'd like you to come over for lunch. Or we'd like to invite you to come for supper and get to know you better. I know that I've already said to some of my neighbors, and we plan this week to go to each of them and say to them, hey, we've lived in this house for 6 years now. We don't know our neighbors very well. We would just love to get the neighbors around us together for a picnic. And so we're going to have a picnic the last Saturday of August, Lord willing. And we're going to invite the people from our neighborhood to come and be together. And we'll probably just put on little name tags and get to know each other. And if God leads from there to deeper relationships, we're going to pray that God's going to make that possible. That might not be how it would happen for you, but I want to ask you to commit yourself to find ways to connect to people in your community and in your circle of influence. Maybe to invite them to your house for a meal. Maybe it's to take them out to Carriage Corner. Maybe it's to cut grass with them. Maybe it's to go to a ball game for one of their kids. There's all kinds. Maybe it's to go shopping for some of you. I don't know what it is, but I want to ask you to promise yourself to pray that God will give you the opportunity to begin to build a bridge of relationship. Invite them to something. Invite them to know that you care about them and you want to get to know them better. It's a great opportunity to reach out and care for other people. Specifically, inviting them to a time of getting to know you and to listening to them and to sharing friendship from the heart. And then if the opportunity presents itself, if the opportunity is there to have the opportunity to share Jesus with them, that's the ultimate goal of a Christian's life, is to share Jesus with other people. And that's what God calls us to do. And so we're praying that God's going to make that door open for you. God's going to give you the opportunity to be able to share who Jesus is and share what Jesus has done maybe in your life. One way is that on that Thursday night in November, as you're planning ahead, you invite whoever you feel may desire that kind of friendship and relationship. Invite them to your house maybe on that evening for dinner. Say, we're going to eat dinner at 6 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock we're going to watch a 30-minute video about Billy Graham. Almost everybody in our country knows who Billy Graham is. Not very many people, even if they're not Christian, know who Billy Graham is. But if you tell them, we're going to watch a 30-minute program about Billy Graham, they understand that ahead of time. And if you say, would you come and eat with us and watch this with us, then they'll have an opportunity to hear the story and hear Billy Graham talk about what it means to make a decision to become a Christian, the beginning of a process. And so this is one way that God may use this church and America in order to see people come to Christ. And so I invite you to do whatever God gives you the opportunity to do. I want to invite you this morning to make a commitment to be a Matthew. Whatever that means, however that's played out, however you can, God gives you and uses you in order to do that, I want to invite you to do that. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to ask God to help you to be a Matthew in the next few months? Matthew was a man who gave his best, what he did was invited people into his life to meet Jesus, and when he did so, it made a great difference. At the end of the service this morning, I'm going to ask you to take that card on the other side. On the bottom is a simple statement about, yes, I would be willing to ask God to help me to be a Matthew. I'm going to invite you to put your name on that. We're going to receive an offering right at the end of the service. And if you'd be willing to ask God to help you to be a Matthew, I want to invite you to do that. We have a lot of resources and materials that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few weeks. But today I want to invite you to be willing to say, I'm willing to pray and ask God to help me to be a Matthew. I'd love to see that we want to give our very best. Give of your best to God. Whatever it is, whatever He gifts you with, whatever resources you are you willing to use them to reach out to people in your life? That's the call on the church. That's a call for disciples of Christ. We're all different. We have different personalities and gifts, but God can use you. And God can use what you are and who you are to reach the right person in your life. There are people around you that only you might have the opportunity to influence for Christ. Are you willing to be a Matthew? I want to invite you this morning to another story, again, that shows the heart of God and how God can use ordinary people to make a difference in the life of someone else. There's so many stories in the New Testament that show us how ordinary people are used by God to make a difference. And this morning I want to talk to you about one of those stories. It's in John chapter 4. If you have a Bible and you'll follow along with me, I'm going to read part of that story this morning, beginning at John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 to begin with. John chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 10. Look at how God worked in the life of this woman and what happened after this story. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. When the Lord learned of this, He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria, so He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" Now would you go to verse 16? I'm going to read these words. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is true." And then finally, I want to read at the end of the story, Jesus' response to His disciples. Verse 27. "Just then His disciples returned and were surprised to find Him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Come, have someone could have brought him food." "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I want to ask you this morning to look with me at three parts of the story, all looking for the same answer, looking for the same thing. What does God say to you and say to me in this story about the woman at the well of Sychar? In Samaria was a place that Jesus and Jews did not often pass through, because Samaria was kind of a place that had a lot of people in it that most of the Jews did not like. There was this history between the Jews and that lived in all around Judea and a place called Samaria. It wasn't a pleasant place. It wasn't a good place. But God chose to use this well and this story and this woman to teach us something that I believe strikes my heart about the heart of God and what He believes about people and what God wants us to believe about people and see about people. I first want to look this morning at Jesus at the well. Four statements that describe Jesus and His attitude and His spirit. Do you know that attitude makes all the difference in who we are before God? Attitude makes a difference whether we see things negatively or things with potential. Attitude makes all the difference in the world. Look at the attitude of Jesus when He encountered this woman at the well. The first thing that I notice about this story is that Jesus made the most of an opportunity. Jesus made the most of an opportunity. Jesus saw a need. Jesus saw a person. He saw that person with an attitude of openness. He saw this woman with an attitude of caring. He saw this woman as someone who needed to be cared for. You know, if you start with an attitude that people around you are people that God loves and God cares deeply about, it changes your attitude about how you relate to them. It changes your attitude of patience. It changes your attitude of priorities. It changes a lot when you see people like God does. When Jesus saw the woman at the well, He saw her as an opportunity. He also saw this woman at the well. He had eyes that could see a need, and He responded to it. And Jesus responded with great compassion. Not only did Jesus see an opportunity to care for somebody, but Jesus saw this person with great compassion. How do you see the people in your neighborhood? How do you see the neighbor across the street? How do you see that person in line at the grocery store who's in front of you and has 94 things in the cart and you only have two? If you're like me, I'm challenged by that. How do you see the person that you buy gas at the gas station every week? How do you see that person at work who's kind of quiet and doesn't have much to say, or even that annoying person at work that's always getting on your nerves? The question is, how do you see people in your life? Well, I tell you, the example of Jesus is He always sees people with compassion and He cares deeply about them. Jesus had a holy compassion about people. I notice about this story and many stories about Jesus, Jesus saw this woman not with a judgmental spirit, but with a merciful spirit. He saw this woman as someone that had a lot of problems. He must have known a lot about her. Whether God revealed it suddenly or how it happened, I don't know. But Jesus saw this woman with great compassion, not with a spirit that judged her or a spirit that put up her hands and said, "She's not what she should be. She's not what I like. She's not what God wants her to be." But Jesus saw her with great compassion. What about the people in your life? Is that how you see people around you? This story challenges me with how we see people, how we view people, how we look at the people that are in our circle of influence. We can see them with an inclusive love of God, or we can see them with walls that we put up against people. Jesus saw an opportunity and He had great compassion. And something else that Jesus did here is Jesus took time to care for this woman. He took time to compare. See, you can care about people, but unless you take the time to care for people and you take time to invest your life in people, you'll never see any fruit of your Christian witness and testimony. You have to be willing to take time to care. Taking our time to care for others is a big step outside of what I know is an already busy schedule for all of us. taking the time to spend time with people and show people that they matter to us, that they matter to God, that their lives count for something and they're not alone, they're not on this island in life, but you care about them and you care about who they are and you care about their problems and you care about their life. That's what Jesus did. He cared about people and He's our example and our pattern. Jesus also spoke to this woman truth and love. We don't have time to go into all the details of the story, but I just want to say this morning, Jesus didn't sugarcoat. He didn't whitewash over anything. Jesus spoke love to this woman. And He spoke truth to this woman. He spoke truth and love. When you combine truth and love, it is life-changing in the lives of people. When you speak the truth, but you have an attitude of love and compassion and caring, people are hungry out there and they want to know what truth is. But if you don't speak it in love, then you just turn people off. But Jesus gives us a picture of someone who loved this woman and spoke truth in her life. He confronted her with truth and then she had to make a decision. That's what God wants for His disciples. He wants us to speak the truth in love. He doesn't want you just to speak the truth. He wants you to have a heart of love for people. When you have a heart of love for people, the truth will make a difference in people's lives. You see, Jesus found a way to earn the right to speak of the deeper things in a very short amount of time in this woman's life. He had compassion on her and He extended that to her in everything that He said and everything that He did. We too can make a difference when we speak the truth in love. There's people in your life that need to hear the truth. There's people in your life that are hard to the truth. There are people in your life who will never respond to the truth. But there are people in your life who will respond to the truth when it's spoken in love. I want to challenge you this morning to see people the same way that Jesus did. See opportunities to make a difference in someone's life by showing compassion, by giving them your time and reaching out and caring for them and speaking the truth in love. You can make a difference in someone's life when you combine that compassion and that time and that truth. You can make a difference in someone's life. I have to believe that there are many people out there in the circle of influence of Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene whose lives will be different 1 year from now because people in our church has reached out with love and compassion to them. I want to encourage you to ask God to show you how you can reach out with this love and compassion to people. Well, that was Jesus at the well. Let me talk about the woman at the well for a couple of minutes this morning. There's the woman at the well. What words would you use, rhetorically, what words would you use to describe this woman in this story? There's several words that come to my mind, and some of those words describe a lot of the people in my circle of influence in my life. Some of the words that I think of that describe this woman in this story is she was sad. I think of her as being ashamed. I think of her as being evasive. I think of her as probably feeling unlovable, broken, been hurt many times, afraid perhaps. But also in this woman I see somebody who was hungry for somebody to care. She was receptive when she heard the truth and she was grateful that Jesus came her way. You see, there were many reasons why Jesus could have chosen not to talk to this woman at the well. He was already very busy for one. I mean, after all, he was out doing great things. He was teaching his disciples. He was healing people. Man, he was feeding thousands of people on the hillside. Everybody wanted to come to Jesus. I mean, they flocked to him and pushed people aside just to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus was a very busy man, but he had time to talk to someone who had a need. He had a time to have eyes that were open to care about somebody who needed the love of God in their hearts and their lives. I wonder, when I'm busy and when you're busy, how many people we might not see around us that have a need to be loved and cared for and compassion. He was already very busy, but he took time for this woman. He took time to talk to this woman, which would have been in itself against the customs of the day. I mean, a man in Jesus' day, a Jewish man, was not to talk to a woman outside of the presence of her husband. And so Jesus approached this woman. His husband was not there and began to talk to her. In addition, she was a Samaritan woman. I mean, she was from Samaria. We know from several places in the New Testament that Samaritans and Jewish people did not mix. They did not get along. They avoided each other. But not Jesus. He went right to this woman of Samaria. And then, let me add one more thing to it about this woman. This woman had a past. I mean, and it wasn't very good. It was very colorful, but it wasn't good. I mean, she had been married. Apparently, Jesus somehow knew this 5 times. And whatever it was painful. Whatever it was, she had this stigma about her. And people might say, well, boy, why would Jesus go and talk to this woman? But he went right to her. You know, see, there were many times in Jesus' ministry when people criticized who he talked to, who he spent time with, who he cared about, who he touched, who he loved. In fact, he was asked that question many times. Jesus, why do you spend time with people like this? In the story we had a couple weeks ago, why do you spend time with tax collectors and sinners? One translation says, Jesus, you spend time with wine bibbers. What do you have to say about that? You know what Jesus said about that? He said, that's who I am. That's why I'm here. I have come to call sinners to repentance, not righteous. See, the truth is, God wants us to love the hurting of the world around us. He wants us to love those that are unlovable. He wants us to care about people that may not be easy to care with, to care about. Why do you spend time with these kind of people? The Pharisees said. And Jesus said, that's who I am. That's who my real disciples are. That's who genuine Christians are. People who love people, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter how badly they've gotten off track. God calls us as His disciples to love people and do everything we can to love them back to Jesus. That's the call of this story in my heart. Jesus saw a woman with a spiritual need and He met it. He teaches us something in that. He teaches us that God loves people and He wants us to love people too. He wants us to have time for people. He wants us to see them differently. He teaches us many things in this story. He teaches us here that He's not afraid to reach out to people that hurt. And if the Pharisees accused Him of being a friend of wine bibbers, you know what Jesus said? That's me. I'm guilty. That's the kind of people I've come to be with. It's the kind of people that God calls the church. See, the church is a hospital. The church is a place that God wants us to have a spirit of inclusiveness. Speaking the truth in love. Always speaking the truth and always speaking it in love. That's what God calls the church to. Because God's truth will set people free. Combined with love, God's truth will set people free. Calling our church to love people with God's truth. See people as God does. Verse 35 says the third part of the story that I want to mention today. See, during this story, Jesus is also teaching His disciples. He's teaching His disciples in His day and He's teaching me. And I hope that He's teaching you too. In verse 35, He says, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe. And ready for the harvest. Those words are so true today. Open your eyes and see the harvest out there. See the people out there that need Jesus around you. That's so true. Open your eyes. I tell you, and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Are you willing to ask God to make you a Matthew or whatever name or whatever story? There's a sense of urgency about the gospel that we need to have in the church. Sense of urgency about people and loving them. And caring about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We might not have tomorrow. We might But today is the day. Today is the day to ask God to make you what He wants you to be as a disciple of Christ. Today is the day to say, God, what do You want in my life as a Christian? What do You want to come from my heart and my character, my priorities? Today is the day of salvation. Now it is time to pray. It is time to make the most of every opportunity. It is time to invite. It is time to share. It is time to pray, God, what do You want me to do? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Would you begin to pray that God will show you how you can bring good news to people in your world, in your circle of influence? There is a great ending to this story. As Paul Harvey said famously, the rest of the story. You know, this lady, after she encountered Jesus, what did she do? Another good example. She went back. It says, I won't take time to read the scripture. She went back and she told her story. She told everybody she knew. Then she brought her friends to Jesus. You know, she went back and told them what happened. And she said, come and see this man that knows everything about me. So she gathers these men and brings them, or these friends, and it brings them back to Jesus. And it says in verse 38 and verse 39, many became believers because of her testimony. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed two more days. And because of His words, many more became believers. And listen to the last verse, verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what You said, but now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The truth is, Your testimony is powerful. And people will hear it when it's genuine and it comes from a heart of love. When they meet Jesus, that's when their lives will be changed. I want to encourage you to give yourselves the next few months, the next 6 months, the next 2 years, whatever time we have, to love people and care about them. Would you be willing to be a Samaritan woman? Would you be willing to be a Matthew? Would you be willing to ask God to take your life and make it count for Him? Billy Graham has called us to pray for people. He's called us to pray about the people in our circle of influence. This morning I want to ask you to be willing to pray. I want to ask you right now to take that card. Debbie's going to come. We're going to sing a very simple chorus in closing this morning. I know it's 4 minutes after 12. I ask you for about 2 more minutes this morning. I want to ask you to take that card, and if you're willing to say, God, yes, I want to be used, whatever it is. I don't know about how I'll do it or what I'll do it. I don't know about my gifts. I don't know about anything, but I'm willing to pray and I'm willing to say, God, use me how You want to. If you're willing to do that, would you take that card, put your name on it? Ushers, would you come and receive an offering in just a moment? This is kind of like a commitment between you and God. I just want to collect them because I want to be able to say, there's 140 people who are going to pray that God will use them in their circle of influence. We're going to have some other materials for you the next few weeks, and I'm going to be calling a time of kind of training about some practical tools of how to reach out to people in the next couple of months, because I know that sometimes when we do something different, we're not sure how to do it. But I just want this morning to say, if you're willing to be used by God, you write your name on it, tear it off, the bottom part, keep the top part as a prayer sheet today. Begin to pray for people, begin to write down their names. Would you stand with me? I'm going to read the words of, and then we're going to sing this chorus. You've probably heard it before. Listen to the words of this song. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with care. Headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries. Only Jesus hears. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. only we can share. Sing with me this chorus. People need the Lord. Ushers, come and just receive this offering of these responses, if you would, today. Sing with me. People need the Lord. Father, I pray that we would give ourselves to be the kind of disciples that You want us to, God. Sometimes it can be very confusing what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Help us, God, to seek the heart of Jesus in all that we do. Help us to see people like You do. Help us, God, to make the most of every opportunity. Help us to see people with compassion. Help us to take time to show care. God, help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to be genuine people. Help us, God, to do it in the everyday moments of life. We do it as we work and as we shop and as we talk to our families, as we go to school. Help it to come out of us, because that's what we are, God, I pray. I pray that there would be many people who would come to faith in Christ because of the work of God's people all across our country and here at Mifflinburg. Lord, in other churches and in other places where Christians have a heart for evangelism, God, help it to be a part of what we are. Help it to be in our DNA, Lord God, I pray. Thank You for the call. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for the opportunity to hear Your truth today, God. Apply it to our lives. Give us direction, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.